So I've been doing some pondering because I know the story well enough to know in the scriptures that the male child has to be born. And I know from the story that hasn't happened yet, because what the male child is supposed to do, it's Ephraim the firstborn, and he's going to cry on Mount Ephraim, let us go up to Mount Zion, to the house of Yah. And that's when the new covenant is going to be established, as it talks about in Isaiah 19, and so on and so forth. It's going to be a wondrous sign. It's not something that is going to be unknown. We can see that in Jeremiah 31. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there to wherever Ephraim is, which I just don't believe that we can dispute that it's anywhere but the United States. I was thinking about the three eclipses that have happened. The first one occurred in Regulus. The constellation of Leo the Lion. Regulus means king or kingdom. So the first one had to do with king or kingdom. The second one was in Spica, in the woman, having to do with either the seed of the woman or the harvest. And now the third one is going to be in the fish, having to do with the Christian church. Three signs in a row: his kingdom, the seed of the woman or the harvest, and the church. And every one of those occurred in the United States for a reason, because that is where his kingdom is going to be reestablished. That is where Zion, the New Jerusalem, is going to be located. That is where the mountains of Ephraim are, where the proclamation is going to go forth. Once this child is born, that's what the male child does. Before the child's born, though, it's going to feel like all the labor that the watchmen have gone through, because the watchmen woke up, some of them as early as 2014, as the blood moons began to happen. And they have been laboring, 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 calling people to repentance, telling them to keep the commandments, telling them to keep the Sabbath, telling people to make straight their paths because the Mashiach is coming. And here's the way it describes that they are feeling here at in this ending moment just before Zion is established. So I'm in Isaiah 26, 16. Yah, in trouble they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. So here, I don't know how much you guys follow, but as I have been going through this journey, I started out with a health journey. And during that time, I have seen more GMO foods, not less, even though there are organizations that have been fighting against it, right? I've seen more glyphosate thrown on the planet. I've seen more agrochemicals. I've seen more plastics being introduced into our system. I've seen the chemtrails. I've seen all these things. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And even though there are people awake that are fighting against it, more division among us based on skin color or based on just outward things, right? based on whether we're Democrat or we're Republican. Nothing but division and, the undermining of our children. The castration of our children. One thing after another just keeps coming. And we just can't gain any ground. We just keep losing ground on all fronts. So it has felt to me as if we brought forth wind. Isaiah 49. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with Yahweh and my work with my Elohim." So this is how it's going to feel. And so as I was thinking about that and thinking about the fact that, the Revelation 12 sign, the sign of the woman, happened by the time we get to the eclipse, as I've heard now from many people, 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days, which is really interesting because since 666 has to do with Satan, it has me wondering if that is the point at which the dragon is going to get cast down to the earth. Because there's going to be the great war in heaven, right? And Michael's going to stand up. And then the dragon's going to get cast down to earth. And that's when he's going to go after the woman and try to keep her from going into her place of safety. Which, by the way, I do have some new things that I've discovered in the heavens that is kind of helping me rethink the timelines. And because I know that the heavens are a second witness. They're not a primary witness. So the primary witness is the word of Yah, is what's written in the prophets. And so that's where we have to start. And the prophets tell us that the first thing that's going to happen is that the man-child is going to be born. So now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Okay, 2017. The next word here is a conjunction. It's the word Kai, meaning and or then. Then being with child, she cried out in pain and in pain to give birth. So that's been the last 6.5 years that we've been going through. Trying to give birth to the kingdom of our God and giving birth so far to nothing but wind. Because it's not by might nor by power, right? But by His spirit, that we will be delivered. Okay, and then there's the next sign. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So then we have a stop in the action there. Then we have another conjunction. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. That child has not yet been born. So far, all we've been able to bring forth is wind. But we can't become weary at this point because we are right on the edge of Zion being established, of the place of safety being established for the woman to flee into. It says right here in Micah 4, now it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass, brothers and sisters. It's not just going to be wind. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. What? The mountains of Ephraim. That's where the cry is going to go forth from. Jeremiah 31, verse 6, for there shall be a day when the watchman will cry, where? On Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion, to Yahweh our Elohim. I'm going back to Micah 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. the mountains of Ephraim, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. That is the new covenant in Jeremiah 31. The laws are going to be written on our hearts, and we will keep the covenant. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of Yah from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. So let's go on down. And it says, in that day, says Yahweh, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion. They're all going to be gathered together in one location. This is the location where the woman's going to flee to, the place of safety. From now on, even forever, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, this is where we are right now, though. That's going to happen. But this is the point where we are right now. Micah 4, verse 9. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city. You shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Once we are completely under the control of Babylon, which I believe is where we are, that's why we feel like we've only brought forth wind. We just keep losing ground. That's when we'll be delivered. It is going to feel like all is lost. We are going to be at the point where we're going to feel like we need to completely lose hope. And that's when we're going to be delivered. That's when he's going to take the yoke off our necks. That's when the Assyrian is going to be thrown out of our land. Okay, so I'm back in Revelation chapter 12. So we've seen the sign of the woman in the heavens. We've seen the sign of the great fiery red dragon. The woman has been in pain and labor to give birth, right? Then we're at the point now where it says, and the dragon. So this is now a new part of the story. This is not the same, I don't believe, as another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon. That's not what I don't believe that's what it is. And the dragon stood before the woman who was now ready to give birth. So she's gone through all of this. She has given birth to nothing but wind so far. She feels like everything she's done has been futile. But now she truly is ready to give birth. Because what does it say in Isaiah? Isaiah 66:9. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says Yahweh. Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says Yahweh. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. That you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. He is not going to bring the time of birth and not deliver us. He's not going to do that. So I was trying to understand, when is this birth supposed to take place? Because obviously it hasn't. And what will be the sign? And the only clue I have is that the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I don't know if this has anything to do with that, but I saw something really interesting that I had never noticed before as I followed the moon. So a long time ago when I started this journey, I felt like Yahweh told me in my spirit to pay attention to the sun and the moon because they were like pointers in the sky, like the hands of the clock. They're pointers. And so when they go into conjunction with another body, it's like Heavenly Father is pointing and saying, pay attention. There's a message here. And of course, it's our job to work that out, right? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. So it is the job of the watchman on Mount Ephraim to search this out, to find the truth. So with that in mind, I'm just going to show you something interesting that I saw. So this is April 7th, 2024, the day before the great eclipse. And I saw something interesting. So the moon is becoming dark at this point. And I'm just going to go by hours for a minute. I want to show you on the 7th, the day before the great eclipse, it goes into conjunction with Venus. While it's dark, the dark moon goes into conjunction with Venus. And Venus can, in my mind, represent the woman. And it's really interesting because after this, the dark moon, right, still dark, comes into conjunction with the sun, which is the great eclipse. And in the meantime, look at this Pons Brooks. This is the devil comet. Remember, it tells us that the dragon stands in front of the woman to devour her child as soon as it's born. I'm wondering if this is telling us, since it went into conjunction with Venus first, that this that's going on right here has something to do with the woman, with the kingdom of God, with the birth of the kingdom of God, because then it goes through the sun, and then as it begins to gain light, look what happens to it. So that was the first conjunction was the 7th, the second one was the 8th, and then I'm going to move it along. Look what happens. This devil comet is right in front of it. It doesn't come into conjunction. It just barely passes by it. Just barely. On the 10th. I just think that's very interesting. So let's go back to Revelation 12. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I've done tons of videos about the fact that, well, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And we find that a rod of iron and ruling all nations is one of the things that's going to be given to the overcomers of one of the churches, one of the seven churches. We also find that exact same verbiage in the book of Zechariah, and we find some of the same verbiage in the book of Ezekiel, and all of that in my mind is the 144,000, the male child that's born, the firstborn, or as it says in Jeremiah 31, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Okay, so however you want to look at it, to me that's all the same group. This is the group that's finally going to say, come, let us go up to Mount Zion. Okay. They have to be born first, though, before the place of safety is established. Okay. It just like it says, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Okay. This being caught up to God and his throne, I believe, is when they have the experience that Isaiah had, that Jeremiah had, that Ezekiel had, where they stand in the throne room and receive their commission formally by Yah. I believe that is what's going on there. It's not being caught up off of the earth, but being caught up in spirit to the throne room to receive the commission that they have, the calling that they're being given, so that Zion can be established, so that there is a place of safety for the woman, Goshen in Egypt, for the woman to flee to for her safety. Verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days during the 3.5 year wrath that is going to go on. Now, let me just come down here because it continues the story down here that I think is important. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished. Okay? So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, right? This is the persecution. It's being described here as a flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. So let's just kind of look at this. There's some new things that I've seen in the heavens that might correlate to this. So I've done videos where I've shown the great signs that are going to occur in Taurus, which I believe represents Ephraim or the 144,000. There's a reason why Pleiades is in there, the seven sisters. I believe those are the seven churches, the Gentile churches. And I have shown that starting in May is when there's going to be great signs in Taurus that make me think that that is the when they're going to, when the 144,000 are going to be established. Okay, that is the birth of the place of safety. But the woman doesn't flee immediately into that place of safety. There's this time period where the dragon is going to be spewing out the flood after the woman. And remember, I showed you that I think Saturn being in the waters represents that flood. But what I didn't realize is that there are two times when Saturn is in the water right here. I just hadn't noticed it. So here we are first. Oops, I forgot to tell it to center on Saturn. So let me do that. So first we have when it's in the flood waters now, which I do think represents the persecution of the 144,000, this time of great trouble that is going to bring on the birth, because the 144,000 are crying out in pain to be delivered. I do believe that it represents that. But if you watch, Saturn is going to leave the waters, but it's going to go into retrograde motion and come right back. Do you see that? So in October, interestingly, close to the time of our elections, all of a sudden we're back here. Like that's when the great flood is about to happen. And it goes through, as you can see, to January. And it's really interesting because notice that Venus comes back around, which I think can represent the woman, and comes through those waters again. There's in January, February timeframe. But here's the interesting thing that I want you to see. Remember that the woman is given the wings of a great eagle to fly into her place of safety. and watch what is about to happen with Venus. So we're in February. I've got to make that the focus. And look, in March, it comes into the wings of Pegasus. And I'm going to tell you, I do not believe that all of these symbols that are in the sky have come to us in purity. I don't think so, because the way that we understand them today and the names that they have today have come through the pagan religions and their interpretations. So to think that it hasn't somewhat been muddled would be silliness on our part. But even so, this is a winged creature, whether you want to call it an eagle or whether you want to call it a winged horse. It is very interesting to me that the woman is supposed to be given two wings of a great eagle to fly into her place of safety. And all of a sudden, that's exactly what Venus is doing. It's going on to the wings of Pegasus or the great eagle or however you want to interpret this. Do you see that? And then comes back into the fish. And notice when that happened, Saturn has come out of the waters and is moving forward as if pursuing the woman. So the watchmen on Mount Ephraim are going to cry. That is the birth of the 144,000, the male child. And then they're going to cry, let us go up to Mount Zion. That is going to be the establishment of the place of safety for the woman to go into. Now something, and so that first sign that I told you was after, was incorporated into the April 8th sign that we're about to see. That might be the birth of the male child. But then going further into the fall, specifically September 18th, Venus actually travels through the womb of Virgo, okay, coming out on the 18th. Now, why is this interesting? There is a group of lunar Sabbath keepers that keep the lunar calendar, and they're called Ministers of the New Covenant. And on their calendar, they actually have that exact day as the first day of Sukkot, a Feast of Tabernacles, which is when I would expect in Tabernacles for the New Jerusalem or Zion to be established, because that is about Yah coming and tabernacling with his people. That is one of the feasts that we're supposed to assemble for. It is also just after Yom Teruah, which is the day of shouting. And if you go to Joel chapter 1, you're supposed to blow a trumpet in Zion, call a solemn assembly, and call a fast. Well, Yom Kippur, 10 days after Yom Teruah, is the day of fasting, the day of atonement. And then on the 18th, then comes Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, according to their calendar. So, and that could be something that we would be looking forward to this year. The other thing interesting about this date is what's going on with the moon. So let me just do a search here for the moon, because this happens on a full moon. This Sukkot does. And look where the full moon is, right here. Right here in Pisces. I don't know if any of that is significant, but it's definitely something to think about. It's just nice to have these dates in our mind, right? To look forward to. And then, like I said, notice that on this day, when it could be heralding the establishment of Zion, the New Jerusalem, the place of safety, notice that Saturn is re-entering the waters at this point, because what did it say the dragon was going to do? It was going to spew out a flood to keep the woman from going into her place of safety. And then just like I showed you, that flood is going to continue through the winter. Here we are in January. Here's the woman just coming through the flood And then as she moves along, then Saturn starts following her. And then what happens? She's given two wings of a great eagle to fly into her place, the place that's already prepared, okay, which will be the New Jerusalem, which I believe is represented by Taurus. Okay, I think that's all I had for today. Hopefully that was worth spending time with me on. I pray Yah's blessing on all of us, that we will not lose hope, that we can trust that Yahweh is going to deliver us. He's going to bring forth the birth, and it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous thing because His kingdom is coming.